I said to him, hey, I'd like you to do this. And he goes, I don't want to.
Family man.
Welcome to the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. This is the show where we remind dads of what's most important. I'm your host, Scott Moore. Thanks for joining us today. Hey, Todd, how's it going?
There was like a little pause there, Scott.
I'm a little paused today.
Okay.
Ready to go back to bed.
Tell me about it. What's pausing you?
Well, I stayed up way too late working on a song, which was loads of fun, but I was like, hours and hours. I finally figured out how to auto-tune, like actually pitch adjust my voice in this
really
music recording thing, and which is very helpful because my voice was never that great to begin with, and it's gotten worse over the years, I've noticed. So anyway, I'll sound better than I actually am when I get done with
really
this.
That's good.
Yeah,
I've heard many artists have gone far that way.
Yeah. So anyway, I was about 2:30 in the morning. I was like, wow. I'm tired. So I was like, yeah. I need to shut this off.
I can't even remember the last time I stayed at maybe college. It's been a long time. Well, we're getting ready to take the Family Man Mobile out today. This is the first time in a long time, really, since last I pulled in like the 1st of November. I drove it down the road last week just to make sure nothing fell off and it sounded great. Work great, but still, when you haven't driven it that long and you're starting this big beast up, and it's not a super far drive. We're going to Kansas for a wedding, but we're heading out this evening. We're going to take my daughter Catherine and her husband Josh, so we'll see how that works out. He's probably never even used an RV toilet, so I'll have to educate him in that, and we're going to be gone for the weekend, but I'm a little anxious.
I thought that was part of the Wilson test process. It was like, if you want to marry it one into the family, you have to ride in the RV for a week.
He's gonna say, what is this stuff? And I'm like, that's RV toilet paper, buddy. Use it sparingly. Yeah, it looks nothing like real toilet paper, feels nothing like real toilet paper. It's closer to like rice sandpaper. Paper or sandpaper. But get used to it. So that should be fun. We don't have to push it hard on the way out. We're not pushing it on the way back very hard either. But there's always a little anxiety, you know, loading her up and getting ready to go. So
you got your masks with you in case you have to stop in some state that'll kill you if you don't have a mask.
Don't even get me started. I mean, cause again, in like our little neck of the woods, it doesn't feel any different. I mean, really, the stores have less and less masks. The cases are down, even though I know people who've gotten it, you know, I mean, I like Sam, my son was like, oh yeah, our pastor and his family all have it. And then they're over it. And then,
well, I've been trying to not freak out, though. I am naturally a cynical,
you know, freaker outer.
Yeah. Don't trust the government, hide in your bunker, X-Files kind of guy.
Right.
But then like one of our more rational friends posted last night that, a friend of hers like posted this letter that she received from the county authorities telling her that she had tested positive and had to now quarantine for 2 weeks. And the problem was that she didn't get the test. Like she had been scheduled.
Oh, really?
But she had been scheduled for the test and canceled.
So like a and black they counted helicopter, that, maybe.
Yeah, they really? Counted it as a positive and sent her the letter saying you have to quarantine. And then like people came out of the woodwork saying, that happened to me too. That happened to me too. And I'm like,
that's a conspiracy theory, yeah. Man.
I had to like just, I'm not really? Listening, la, 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 because I'll freak out.
I know. It just, and I can just, I don't know. It just, I know it. So, just
best yeah. beer, eh? When's hockey on? That
huh?
When's hockey on? I'm just going that, full Canadian now.
That's true.
So hockey and true. Beer, eh?
Okay. That's those comedians, right?
Yes.
That you're mimicking.
Doug and Bob McKenzie.
The McKenzie brothers, yes, eh?
From way back.
Yeah. I don't know if I've ever actually seen them, but there's a Disney animated movie, Brother Bear, and I guess they kind of reprise their roles as Canadian Moose.
Oh, that's right. I haven't seen that in years, but I remember that now.
Huh. I'm a Disney fan, but it's not that great a movie. Sorry.
Well, it's Rick Moranis, so that would make sense. Rick Moranis is one of them. He's in the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids movies.
Right.
So it would make sense that he showed up in...
That is a
Disney movie, isn't it? Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, it is. So
on to important stuff. We're not freaking out about whatever and, you know. What were you going to talk about this morning?
I don't know. You already got me sidetracked now.
I'm flipped out, man. I'm like loading the shotguns and stockpiling ammo and beef jerky. I'm ready here.
You're ready.
Bring it on.
Shoot your mailman. He was carrying this bag.
some cop apparently shot one of his coworkers through the door after saying he was going to shoot the person who came to the door if there were like protesters coming to him. That was a weird story.
Wow.
Anyway, stop me now. Go to something else. Happy things.
Well, you know, happy things. We had a birthday this week, and it was, I was just writing it in the Family Man Weekly. It'll come out tomorrow or when you get this. Ben celebrated his 27th birthday yesterday, which is so blow me away, shocking. And we went to Hacienda's, which is one of our family favorites, and they split us apart because they wouldn't let us all sit together.
What?
Because we're a family, you know, and we came in together, but we can't sit together. And they put us in this back area room where there's no one else around us. So he's a conspiracy theory man. And
I'm done. So, I'm out. Click.
Click.
You're on your own, man.
And so we went there, and then we went back to Ben's house, and we opened presents and played volleyball. But I'll tell you, I was so totally surprised by a wave of emotion that hit me because, you know, he was opening up his gifts, and Ben's a big historian. I mean, he loves history, he was telling me the other day that it is, you know, his bucket list is he wants to go to the Confederate War Museum. And I'm like, you better do that now because they're going to close it and burn it. But one of the things he wanted or he talked about was getting a World War II Army helmet because he'd like to put it in his office. And so we found on eBay, you know, because they probably made 50 million of them, a World War II Army helmet. And he opened it and thought it was really cool. And everybody's like, oh, put it on, Ben. And I mean, it was like a scene out of a movie. He takes his helmet, and you're watching me on the screen right now, right, Scott?
Yes.
You know, and he puts it on his head. And as he did, you know, like he turned to his wife and he looks at her. And I mean, he smiled. And I mean, like right there, boom, I saw this 10-year-old kid with this Army helmet on. Because Ben was my dresser-upper. I mean, he would dress up. He would kind of force his brother Sam, and they would put on Gettysburg outfits and Army outfits, and you know, they would play Army out in the yard, and I mean, just for that second as he smiled, I was taken back. And as I watched him, I just got this huge lump in my throat because it just felt so, it's like I'd forgotten what he was like. And even though, I mean, the little Ben reminded me of the big Ben, because he's fun and smiles easily, and he plays hard when he plays volleyball, and is a little, doesn't like the attention when everybody's looking at him, you know, opening his presents. But then he took the helmet off and he went back to himself. But it was just, it was a surprise. It was like a surprise from God, just from a memory that snuck up on me. It was super special. But we had a good birthday time. And again, now we're getting ready to move out. But it's been hot here. I assume it's been super hot down there, right?
I'm all choked up here, man. You can't ask me about the weather now. Yes, it's been hot here. You guys hit your 100th episode with your other podcast too, didn't you?
Yeah, we did.
See that? How have you guys really been doing that for 2 years now?
2 years, yeah.
Good gravy. So, I didn't know that.
That's amazing. Yeah. Yeah. Jeremy Bain down in Alabama told me it is super hot there. He says today's forecast will see a high of 94 and tomorrow 98 with a heat indices of 1 million. he said, here's another one of those. For all the scientists that said coronavirus would die when it gets hot and humidity cranks up, baloney, he says. How much hotter does it have to get to kill this thing? So
not when they're just counting everybody positive, man.
That's right. That's right.
Well, you look like you might have coronavirus. You've got it. Click. Quarantine yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a conspiracy theory, man.
Okay.
Okay. Well, hey, I thought maybe we would talk about, Scott, transitions. Not transitions like in the contemporary sort, where boys are transitioning into girls, which is just ludicrous. But, you know, those transitions where that sometimes we kind of stumble, you know, it's like parenting. You know, God gives you a baby and you have no idea what you're doing. I mean, I was not a baby guy before I had babies. I didn't touch other people's babies. I don't even think I really held another baby until I held Ben 27 years ago. And, you know, but you kind of get it takes you a little while. You start to get in a rhythm and then boom, you know, you're transitioning to another stage, you know, whether it's that toddler stage, you know, and it's easy. You kind of figure out the naps thing and the feeding schedule. Then all of a sudden, you know, they're skipping their nap. And now they're up all the time. And now they're starting to walk and they're starting to, you know, take up more time. And then you have another kid. And then, you know, you're pretty good. Like I know Ben and Rissa are kind of hitting their stride now with two kids. And I know that that's a little scary to think we have to go back to babies again.
Yep. The worst for me was when you're out of diapers with one for a while. And then another one comes along and you're like, oh man, diapers again.
Yeah. Yippee. Yeah. Or you you go from two to three where two, you know, you can each handle one and now you're doing a 2-on-2 or a 2-on-1 or something like that. Yeah,
it's a zone defense after that, man.
And then you go from, you know, the littles to the mediums. The mediums, you know, where they would say like the terrible twos and above. I love the twos. I love that age. And I loved the medium kids because they were so much fun. And at that stage, it seemed like it was exhausting because they were just relentlessly all the time. You know, I can remember, I still think of this. We were at our family lake cottage and I was taking a nap with the kids because I looked forward to that nap time. I mean, on the weekend, I'm like, I could take a nap. You know, I need a nap. And I can remember laying on the floor in this bedroom. It was small. And one kid was sleeping on one side of me. Another kid was sleeping on the other side of me. And I was just trying to keep him asleep. And I think I still had one or two who was a little bit older than that and playing outside in the water. And I'm laying there asleep. And all of a sudden, I feel like a tapping on my forehead. And I thought, one of my kids came in to wake me up to ask me some stupid question like, hey, Dad, can I go out? Can I dive off the end of the pier? You know, and I was about ready to kill him. And I opened my eyes and it's my brother-in-law tapping me on the forehead because he needed me to move a car or something. And even he will say, oh, man, you look like you were going to kill me, Todd.
I'm going to say, is he still with us?
Yeah, he is. He is. But then, you know, so those were exhausting stages, but you could kind of control everything. You know, you could say, okay, it's time for your nap time, or it's time to go to bed now. You know, our kids went to bed early, 8 o'clock, 8:30. I mean, really, even when Ben was probably 13, he went to bed at 8 just because he could stay up in his room. But I mean, they all went to bed. But then you kind of transition out of that to that, you know, that teenager. That teenager stage. And I just read yesterday that the word teenagers was first used, I think, in like 1920 something in a book. And I've heard people say, well, you know, teenager is a construct of our modern society. And I'm like, baloney. you know, they may not have been called teenagers back then, but there was a stage from the beginning, you know, where their blood thickens and they start going dope, you know, and saying weird things. And why do I have to? You know, I'm convinced that's why God made Adam and Eve as grownups, not as teenagers, because he might have said, okay, now you get to name him. He's like, why do I have to name him? You know, and that's a hard stage. I think I mentioned a couple of weeks ago that for my youngest two, they're both kind of hitting that teenage stage at the same time. And I mean, like, there is so much emotion. I mean, my son, teenage son, I said to him, hey, I'd like you to do this. And he goes, I don't want to. And I'm like, you don't want to? You know, that's not the answer. You don't say, I don't want to. You say, okay, Dad, sure.
Sir, yes,
you know,
sir.
But you don't say, I don't want to, you know? And I'm just like, and then I said it again, like, well, I need to do this because I don't want to. And I'm like, are you kidding me? You know? And so then, you know, and then I start putting a little pressure on him and he burst into tears, you know, and tears are flowing down his face. And I know it's not because I was really that mean, even though I have been in the past, you know, it was just this emotion. It's like he couldn't control it. And now I can't control all those little details. You know, Jed got his hair cut yesterday and Debbie took him to go get it cut. And it was one of those, you know, kind of real short on the sides and a little floppy on the top. And man, he thought he looked cool. And I wanted to say, what are you trying to look like? I mean, you know, who are you trying to be like? But I did. And I was like, man, you're looking good there, dude. You know, and
just go find a soccer practice to watch, man. My kid's soccer team, they like, there's one dude who shaved the sides of his head. The top's long and he turned it pink.
Oh yeah.
And like, and they're all, I mean, it's so funny. My son will like put his Suavecito, what is that stuff called?
Suavecito? Not
hair gel. That's the brand. It's like that, why am I blanking on that? It's not actual gel. It's the other hair product. I'm so glad I don't know this.
I don't know, like a paint wax?
Pomade or whatever.
Pomade.
Whatever, however you say that. He'll put that stuff in before going to soccer practice. I was like, dude, you realize you're going to be sweating buckets within 3 minutes of getting there. Yeah, Dad, but I have to look cool going. Like, he doesn't say that. Exactly. But I mean, like, that's the attitude. I'm like, what is it with soccer players, man? They have to look cool going to practice. But anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Carry on.
No, but that's the thing. That's that transition.
Yes.
Where, you know, where you did want to look cool. I mean, I was probably that way in some peculiar way in 1978.
You wanted to be the Fonz.
The Fonz, you know.
You had that comb sticking out of your back pocket.
Oh, I can remember, you know, wanting to have bangs, you know, like, because bangs were cool to have bangs and, you know, and then having my hair a little bit longer because, and it wasn't rebellion. It was just because everybody else had it that way. And, you know, and so then you're in that teenage stage. Where really, I think our jobs as dads, we still need to bring them to the standard, you know, so we still have to bring the hammer down sometimes, but maybe we don't bring it down as often. And maybe we pick our battles, you know, because maybe hair doesn't matter as much as we would like it to matter. Maybe I don't like your style, but maybe it's okay. Because your heart is still okay. Your heart is not saying, I just want it to be whatever. Again, I think sometimes you do it just because you don't want to stand out in the crowd. You just want to, it's not like you want to be cool. You just don't want to be not cool. And so then maybe we let that slide. Even my daughter, Maggie, she's 16. And I can tell, you know, that she wants to look cute. And every day I can tell. Not every day, but, you know, I can tell when she spent a lot of time doing her hair. And again, like you said, just to go to volleyball practice or something like that. And I try to always say, oh, man, you look cute today. Just because I want it to come from her dad, not from some other guy. Or even though sometimes I'd like to go, wow, you know, those shorts are just a little bit too short, Maggie. I don't think you should be wearing those shorts. But she doesn't see them as shorts. She just short. She sees them as, this is what everybody wears. And so again, I could say, no, you're going to wear the short side. You know, you got to put your hands down to your side and if your fingertips don't touch the edge of the, your shorts, then they are too short. And I could do that. And I could maybe talk about modesty and all that thing. But I would have a daughter who would maybe try to sneak around me or not feel very pretty in my eyes and constantly see this look of disappointment and judgment. And I don't want to be that. And then once you start to get into the swing of that, then your kids go off and they go to college or they get jobs or they get married. And then there's another transition. And I've gotten lots of emails from dads who that's a hard transition for dads. You know, that they don't know quite what to do. You know, I'm finding this transition interesting because sometimes I can deal with it and other times I'm having trouble with it. Because like, for example, you know, I know families who are like, you know, to their grown kids, they'll say, you know, make sure you put your sunscreen on. You got to get your sunscreen on. You got to put your sunscreen on. And they kind of talk to them like they're 14 or 8. And, you know, I'm like, if they're 25 years old, if they want to get burned, they can get burned. Mm. I know sometimes, you know, my dad, even today, if we were to get in the car, he would probably say something like, as I'm driving along, he goes, you're driving a little faster, Todd, you know, they'll get you here. And I find myself bristle against that, you know, because I want to say, I'm 55 years old. I can drive any way I want. If I want to get a ticket, I'll get a ticket, you know? and I think that's a hard thing. Okay. And even in marriage, I know some parents who are like, they're freaking out because their kid is maybe showing interest in someone who isn't as mature as they think they should be. And they think that they need to be the one who convinces them to change or, you know, and, you know, the truth is as they get older, they get to make choices on their own. And some of those choices are going to be bad choices and they have to make those bad choices to learn what God would have them learn, you know, and we can just kind of assume that maybe, you know, they see something in that person that we train them to see. I just think it's silly. When, you know, you talk to a mom or a dad of a daughter who's, you know, 30 some years old, 35 years old, and they say, well, you know, I just can't find a man because no one's like my dad. And I'm like, well, not even your dad was like your dad when he was a young guy. You know, that's not even a fair comparison. You know, and so even right now, I'm not struggling because that's not the right word. I'm just trying to figure out the transition and take my own medicine because, you know, sometimes our sons and daughters, they don't view the urgency like we view the urgency, you know, whether that's to get a job or to have as many hours or to have their money saved up or to make a purchase. And my wife will say, Todd, they're grownups. You know, that's not up to you. And I'm like, I know. And in my head, I know that. But in my heart, I think, or in my whatever, it's not even my heart. Maybe it's in my emotion. I feel like, well, if they don't, then, you know, this could come down the pike and this could happen. And all the time forgetting that when I got married, I probably had $50 in my whole life savings, you know. And, but we hear people who say, well, you know, in order to marry my daughter, you know, you have to have all this and you have your plan and all this. And I'm like, I think that's not always possible or maybe not even always, reasonable. And I'm guessing, Scott, that maybe that you're in some of those transitions now.
I'm just taking notes here, man. I think I'm about ready to head into the deep end of this transition thing. Don't tell anybody, but I'm pretty sure there's a young man that's going to talk to me and my wife soon. So
really? Wow.
Yeah. And it's weird because my wife's like, Scott, you need to be more involved. And, you know, we have to, I don't know, she wants me to disciple them into marriage or something. And I'm like, I didn't know what I was doing. I don't know what I'm doing today still in my marriage.
That's right.
I don't really think you want me giving this guy lots of wisdom, but I'll try.
Well, you know, and that's a thing, and people say that, but the truth is you've been discipling your daughter and your wife has been discipling your daughter since birth.
I tried to say that. It didn't work.
Well, tell her Todd said, you know, I've been doing premarital counseling since they were born.
She has no respect for you. Come on.
That's right. Just kidding. Is that the best you can do? Todd said.
Just kidding.
Yeah. Well, and you know, and we somehow think, maybe it's not we who think this, but our wives think that if we can, don't tell your wife I said this, if we can just have them go through this little program, you know, the things to do before you say I do, you know, that it will all be like, okay. And the truth is, you know, that really, they almost don't even hear any of that stuff.
Yeah. Well, and I find myself picking like the three big things that I did wrong that I want to hammer home with them to say, you know, make sure you've got your finances all in order and don't ever, 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 ever go into debt, you know?
Right. And that's good stuff to say.
Exactly.
But sometimes you have to learn it the hard way before you learn it, you know? I just read a quote yesterday that says, dads who are against daughters dating, and the little, I think it was a t-shirt, and it says, shoot the first boy as a warning to the others.
That's awesome.
And I think that's a good idea.
Yep.
That's a good idea. So dad, hey, I know you're going through you're going through transitions. If you're not, consider yourself fortunate, but you're going to be heading into some transitions. And I think the transitions continue, you know, until you're dead. You know, as you parent your children who are parents and then who are grandparents, you know, and I guess I get comfort knowing that we're all in this together and that you're going to make it through it, you know, but here's my advice. Don't pull out. Don't grow weary. Don't stop being the dad and then keep smiling. You know, as your kids get older, you need to smile more, wave more, and probably say less, which I think is hard for some of us dads. Because we feel like, you know, I need to say something or they won't get it. I don't think we need to say anything. I think, you know, we've spent 20 years saying things. Now we get to just kind of stand on the side and root, you know, go, 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 go. Or we get to smile and wave. And I'll tell you, even when my dad still, when he says, oh, that was good, Todd, man, that feels so good to me. So, hey, Dad, we're out of time. Have a great week. If as you're listening to this, I'll be driving somewhere out in Missouri and Kansas. If you wouldn't mind praying, I sure would appreciate it for me and the RV and my family and me as the dad. And keep praying for our fellow family man, Jason. Remember his son, Samuel, had the brain tumor. And I just got another email that said they checked that again, I think right before 4th of July, and it is spreading quickly. And he sounded very positive in his email, but man, I'm asking God for a miracle. And at the same time, knowing that God would only do what's best for his children, as we want to do what's best for our children. And sometimes they don't understand it either. So have a great week, and don't forget, you to dad.
And that's our show for this week, Dad. Thanks for joining us for the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. If you have a question for the show, email Todd at familyman@familymanweb.com. If you have a question for me, you can reach me at scott@unsocializedmedia.com. Thanks for joining us, Dad. Have a great week.